Welcome to episode 2 of The Catch. This is the podcast where we talk about what's hot and not in the world of books and beyond. I'm Emma and I'm here with the rest of Team Trapeze, apart from Anna, who's MIA today. Who else is here?
Sam.
I'm here.
Miss you, Anna.
I'm here too. I'm Marley.
And coming up in this episode, we've got 4 juicy segments for you. First off is what's the conversation this week, where we'll talk about what's trending and why. Then we've got Spotlight On. This is our new recurring segment with a special guest or two. And this month we're talking to the wonderful Sarah Manning, who's an agent at United Talent Agency. And we'll be chatting about NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. And I'll be talking to Stevie Finnegan, who runs the publicity for Glance, and she is a real live participant in NaNoWriMo, so she'll be talking about the experience. Then we've got our star author slot, and this month you're lucky enough to be listening to the wonderful Ruby Elliott, aka Ruby etc. And last but not least, there'll be an exciting giveaway at the end, so keep listening. First things first, a lot has happened since our last podcast. We've been very busy. We had our Trapeze launch week, Trapeze New Voices Festival. What else has been going on?
Yeah, we've been going out and about, haven't we? Sort of travelling all around the country.
Trapeze on tour.
But it's been great. We've met lots of great readers, been hanging out with our authors and meeting lots of aspiring writers.
Yeah, we've been Manchester, Cheltenham, Frankfurt.
You loved Frankfurt, didn't you? How did your presentations go?
Please, presentations went okay. Audience numbers varied. yeah, it was good. It was good fun. It was a tiring week, but it was good fun. Yeah, and we've got we had Super Thursday, and now we're getting ready for our next batch of November books. We've got some exciting ones coming out. Walking Bread, It's All Absolutely Fine. Guns and Roses, Brexit, survival activity book.
Damn TDM diary. So guys, what's the conversation this week? What's been trending? What's everyone talking about?
I am really getting into Westworld.
Interesting. Yeah. Is this the one with the Da Vinci lady with the no skin?
Yeah, yes. And it is quite terrifying and it's making me question my own reality.
Oh God, is it robots or is it a western or is it both?
It's a bit of both.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're robots, but not this. They're basically really human robots, and it's kind of like, I won't do any spoilers, but it's kind of like almost like the Truman Show.
Oh.
But basically, people don't listen now if you don't want to know what it's about. But it's basically people going into this kind of huge amusement park type thing.
Oh wow.
And where they're interacting with these robots that actually feel really real.
My God.
I think it's going to replace American Horror Story for you.
Yeah, that's great.
It's like, next viewing.
It's kind of terrible.
Sounds
and great.
A little bit like Black Mirror as well, which
I haven't watched the new episodes yet.
They're really good.
Are they?
I've only seen 2, but I think there's lots of stories that are sort of coming out on film and TV and books that are about technology and our relationship with technology. I think it's a really interesting subject.
Definitely.
Terrifying and interesting at the same time. Haven't watched Black Mirror yet because I feel like it's not a leisure watch.
No, it's an endurance.
Actually, you should watch it. The first episode's really good. It's got, is it Bryce Howard in it? Marley, I feel it would really appeal to you. It's about sort of like notification like culture and like online validation. So this woman like gets like
that's you, Marley.
That's you, Marley.
Well, having taken over the
Instagram account, might learn a trick or two.
It's true.
Yeah,
I get a lot of validation from those notifications. It makes me happy.
It kind of starts out and you think it's like all kind of pretty and it's a bit like the Truman Show, like, and then it kind of goes really dark quickly.
Ooh.
It's great.
And then another dark theme, the Adam Curtis documentary. Has anyone seen that?
No.
Another terrifying version of reality.
It's all getting a bit bleak in November.
Yeah, it is. But then we've had the fun stuff like Halloween and, you know,
great Stranger Things costumes going on.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
amazing
all of those.
Stuff. Really good stuff online.
Did any of you dress up?
No.
Oh, okay.
Did you?
No. Normally I go all in for Halloween. I'm quite big on dressing up. But no.
It's a Monday. Monday. And then, should we mention Chinese tourists? I mean, that was a weird story.
This is a great story.
So there was, there's this town called, I think it's called Kidlington, a little village, and it's in Oxfordshire, and basically busloads of Chinese tourists have been turning up. It's been a bit of a mystery for quite a while why people are going there.
It's a really generic, like, English village.
Weird. Like, classic.
Why are they going gardens? There?
And then I think one of the residents gave them a form just to find out. They were like, welcome, you know, we're happy you've been here.
I think the BBC collaborated so that it was in China, because none of the tourists spoke Chinese. So yes, they had to have this form to find out why they were coming to visit.
And it's basically like they've been sold the proper like British experience, like English village experience tour operators in China. So they're all
so they go and take photos outside like Mr. Smith's Ford Fiesta.
Yeah. Possibly it's a publishing opportunity. Yeah. Welcome to Kidlington. That's a happier story.
Yeah, it is. And then also this month it's NaNoWriMo, which leads us neatly into the next segment. And on to the next segment of the podcast, it's our Spotlight On section, where this week we're talking with Sarah Manning, who's a literary agent at United Talent Agency. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we and Sarah are going to be chatting about NaNoWriMo. I hope I'm saying that right. That's right. NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. And Sarah's going to be sharing some of her views on it and what's good and bad and some tips and how to approach an agent. So, as my understanding of it goes, NaNoWriMo is the month of November and you're writing 50,000 words at least in a novel. Is that right,
Sarah? Yeah, that's right, which is a magnificent feat for a writer. But that's the aim of it. So you've got from the 1st of November, you register online in October and then paste your words from, I think it's the last week of November, you paste everything in and then you get a badge to say that you're a winner and you've completed NaNoWriMo.
Okay, I see. So you just paste all your words in.
Yeah, I think there's a link.
That's it.
Yeah, and then you just get a congratulations, you've achieved it. Obviously, you don't have to do that, but it's the idea and you get something at the end of it. And I think you get badges as a milestone as you upload words if you want during the month as well. Yeah. So it kind of gives you motivation to...
Yeah. And people can get involved however they want to.
Yeah, I think you can read an excerpt as well from other people. So 50,000 words all in November.
And what happens if... Do you think we could start writing one now? Are we too late?
No, I think you can.
Okay. I might do it.
I know, I was thinking that as well.
So first off, do we think that NaNoWriMo is a good thing and why?
I do. I think that it's a difficult thing to achieve.
It's a lot of words in a
month. A lot of words, yeah. I think it's good for a number of reasons. I also think there are a few pitfalls to it. But the main thing with it is for writers who are perhaps struggling to get those words down on paper, and writing can be such a lonely job, whereas this gives you a clear target, motivation, an online community that can support you as you go.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of helping you actually get that first draft down, it can be a really good thing. And some amazing things have come out of it in the past as well. One is Rainbow Rowell's Fangirl, which when I found out, you know, I thought was amazing. And I think that another thing that it allows you to do, writing that many words all at once, which is such an unusual thing for a writer to achieve, is it allows you to get really, really carried away and involved in that world in a really intense way. And so I think perhaps you get some really exciting writing or some really developed, interesting characters in that time.
Yeah. I think that one of the pieces of advice that is given is up to writers is often just sit down and write, you know, just write and see what comes out. And I think that maybe NaNoWriMo makes people actually do that, and where they might not make time otherwise, they'll just do it. And then, you know, if you're giving time to your imagination, your creativity,
whether that's after work, it's a good thing.
Exactly, no, I completely agree. And so many writers, I think they're afraid that the words they're going to put on the page aren't the perfect words. So to be told to sit down and write, they stare at a blank page, or they're too afraid, whereas this puts a focus much more on just kind of getting it down, which is good. And also, people do have jobs around their writing. Very few people are writing full time.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, if you're writing your first novel or not yet published. And I think people just naturally work better to deadlines and targets. And yeah. Even though you are imposing it on yourself, it feels a bit more structured. And to create that time late at night when you're tired, I think any other time of the year, it can be so easy to just go, oh, I'll start tomorrow.
Yeah, and I guess it's for all those people that want to write books, and maybe they've had a great idea, but they put it off and then they don't make the time. They think, oh, one day I'll start writing, but then actually focuses people in and it gives them a reason to start writing.
Yeah, exactly. Or perhaps you're 20,000 words in and you've hit a block.
Get a head start.
yeah. Plan it ahead. But no, maybe you've written 20,000 words and you just kind of feel like you've already done so much, but there's so much still to go.
Yeah.
And you've just hit a wall. Then I think, again, it can be another reason to keep going.
Yeah. And so there's so many people that get involved with this as well. There is a community around it and on social media, and people sharing their experiences with it, and feels quite a collaborative team effort in doing something quite individual.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the main thing with it, I think, is that community support that you don't always have if you're just writing yourself. So I know that there are writing groups that get set up at libraries for people to go to after work, or just online communities and writers groups. And I think NaNoWriMo put on some talks that kind of give you advice throughout the month as well to help you.
Yeah.
And, you know, inspire you as you go along, or perhaps things you're finding hard as you're writing.
There's lots of resources out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. NaNoWriMo isn't that specific about what kind of novels people write either. I think there's no boundaries, so you can write anything you want, from kind of fan fiction to literary fiction so it's really broad, and I think it's good to encourage, you know, writers from every single background and interest to write.
Yeah, exactly. There are no rules on who can take part. It's just kind of this pledge that you're all in it together to try and write these 50,000 words. And they also have a young writers NaNoWriMo, I think,
yeah,
as well, so encouraging children to get involved in it as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Rainbow Owl, and also I think The Night Circus came out of NaNoWriMo as well, so there are those people that are, you know, it really does start something off in terms of getting published as well. But what is your opinion as an agent of what the pitfalls might be? And is there a negative side to writing like this? And what should people be wary of if they are taking part in NaNoWriMo?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, if I got a submission on the 1st of December that said they'd written it during NaNoWriMo, I definitely would approach it with caution. Because the thing with writing, as I'm sure anyone will tell any writer out there, is that so much of the process is about editing and re-editing and editing it again. Yeah. Even when you've got a publishing contract, your publisher will edit it numerous times. And you can't expect yourself to write a perfect novel straight off. And I think that people need to approach NaNoWriMo knowing that writing those 50,000 words really can inspire them and something exciting can come out of it, but that it will just be a first draft most likely.
Yeah.
And that they should take time to then go over it. You want to make sure that you're not just writing words for the sake of word count.
Yeah.
Which I think can be a pitfall during NaNoWriMo, and kind of approaching it knowing what you're writing, why you're writing it, what your plot points are and how your characters get to each one, rather than just, oh, I'm just going to write 50,000 words.
Yeah.
And I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
in them.
Although I guess you could do that if you really don't care about getting published.
Yeah, well, if you just want to see you if you can write 50,000 words, yeah, certainly. You know, if you're approaching it now and you're writing, joining in NaNoWriMo now, and you haven't really plotted where those 50,000 words are going to go, that doesn't matter. But I think that you need to start thinking about that and maybe sacrifice a day of writing to think, okay, who are my characters? What is my story? Where are they going to be in the next 50,000 words and how do they get there? And that is just as important as writing your 3,000 words a day.
Yeah, definitely. The thinking time is worth it as yeah. well. Even if you're not making the word count for that day, it's
exactly, it's you'll probably make process. Up more words the next day because you know where you're going and those words will be better quality. So making sure that you know what you're writing is so important.
If people want to say they have done this draft and they've worked on it and they've kind of made it into something more than those 50,000 words they initially did, and if they wanted to approach an agent, how should they go about it? Should they be mentioning that they did NaNoWriMo? What should they be putting in their covering letter to you? All those kind of things. Have you got any advice for those budding writers out there?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, definitely mention it. It's a really interesting way of writing and just shows that they're involved in that writing community. It doesn't matter if you haven't done NaNoWriMo or if you have, but I certainly wouldn't say it's a bad thing to mention. And the way to approach an agent really depends and varies from agent to agent. So my first and foremost advice to everyone would be to look up the guidelines, submission guidelines for each agent you're approaching. So some people ask for 10 pages or 3 chapters or just a synopsis. Myself, I ask for a synopsis, which is about an A4 page, a cover letter, where that's where you would say you've done NaNoWriMo, you'd say what genre, what length it is, where you see it sitting on the shelves, show that you know what you've written and who your readers would be. And then a short blurb, which really is kind of the thing that you would want on the back of your book. So you're selling it to the agent. They want what's going to make them open your submission and want it to be good. And then finish with a little bit about you. And then I ask for the first 3 chapters.
What kind of books and what kind of authors are you looking for to add to your list?
So I have a really broad remit, which is great, probably the best job description ever, which is just to take on things that I love and I believe I can sell. So my list at the moment stretches from memoir to YA fantasy to women's commercial fiction to serial killer. So
it's very broad.
Very broad, which is really great. I think it's the best way to be.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm in particular at the moment looking for something that has a really quite quirky voice, a different perspective on life. So something I read recently, which I absolutely loved, and I would like something, obviously not the same, but along those lines, which I think I don't have on my list at the moment, is Eleanor Oliphant. It's just got a really interesting voice and you see the world through someone else's eyes, which I find really interesting, and I don't really have that kind of really character-driven, voice-driven book on my list at the moment. And the other thing I would love to find is a sweeping love story. So those kind of 2 things I think are missing on my list at the moment, which I would love to find.
So listeners,
if you've written a sweeping love story, you've got a quirky voice-driven novel, do send to Sarah.
Yeah, please do. But, you know, I do have such a wide list. I just don't take on middle grade or picture books, children's, and non-fiction-wise, I'm looking really for those narrative stories that read like fiction.
Yeah, great. Are you on Twitter?
I am.
To give your Twitter handle a shout out?
It's so unimaginative.
It's better than one Emma Smith.
Oh no, it's not that much better. It is Sarah Manning, 123.
You like from the 90s.
Do you give Sarah a follow? And also,
you know, feel free to follow us and react to it. If you are writing, getting involved in NaNoWriMo, do tweet us and tweet Sarah as well and tell us what you're working on, because we're really interested to hear.
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
That's probably it from me and Sarah for now. Thank you, Sarah, for coming in. I hope you've enjoyed it, your podcast debut.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been fun.
So we're lucky enough to have a real-life NaNoWriMo, what's the word?
Participant
with us now for the podcast.
A live specimen.
A live specimen of NaNoWriMo. We've got Stevie Finnegan here, who runs the publicity for Gallant. And she's going to tell us about what it's actually like to be living the NaNoWriMo month. Stevie, what are you writing?
I've done NaNoWriMo for a long time. I've done it since I was 13, every single year.
Oh, wow!
So I think that makes this my 13th or 14th year doing it. So this is normal. I'd find it
strange. This is just your November every year.
Yeah, I don't understand how people end the year without desperately trying to kind of hammer themselves against a keyboard.
Amazing. So what's the book, what are you working on this time around?
I'm cheating slightly. I mean, I am starting again from zero, but I'm writing the third draft of something. So I vaguely have the plot of it in my mind. I have kind of the characters down. It's a YA, slightly time travel story.
Cool.
About people who were deemed too evil to live in their original time periods. So they've been plucked out of history and are raised in this weird orphanage away from the rest of the world.
Oh, cool. So do you use NaNoWriMo as kind of a kind of kickstart to make you just bash out those words every day?
I think just otherwise I would never get anything written. And I know that everything I write in NaNoWriMo is awful. Because I'm just sitting there saying, write something. Even if you're just interviewing your character on the page, you have to write something right now.
Yeah.
But throughout the rest of the year, I probably write about half as much as I do in November.
Really? So it's a real kind of explosive time for making you just get content down.
Yeah, and having that content then, it's so much easier to go back and edit it and actually write something that comes out of it slightly. Yeah. As long as I'm not staring at a blank page, I can actually do some work for the rest of the year.
Yeah. So then when are you fitting in your writing around your busy day job?
Whenever I can, because, yeah, there seems to be a lot to do with the rest of my life at the moment. So I've developed a NaNoWriMo club here.
Oh, great.
At Hachette, and there's a few people from across the building, and we meet there in our lunch hour, eating, like, food with one hand, typing kind of with the other.
That is amazing.
I've even been writing on my phone on the tube, like, crammed up against, like, 40 other people just in a corner. I've tried to get up early and write before work. That's never worked for me.
So it's finding time throughout the day.
Yeah.
Are you competitive with your fellow club members?
This is, it's a really good way to get writing done, like put on a kind of a 20-minute writing sprint.
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing that with people here, doing it with people on Twitter or something and saying kind of who can write the most words between 7 and 7:10, go.
Yeah. But do you find that it's quite a supportive community out there? And, you know, are people, if people don't know, how do you get involved online? Are the hashtags people should be following?
Yeah, literally every time I've just even updated my word count on Twitter or like on the NaNoWriMo forums, I've got so much love and support from people I've never met and people who've literally tweeted at me saying, I don't follow you, but congratulations, you've got an extra 1,000
words.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's a really positive thing to be involved with.
Yeah.
Have you got any advice for people that might be, who might not, like you have done, done it since you were 13. Have you got any advice for people that should just get started?
Yeah, I think it's daunting just starting, that's the thing. Trying to do 50,000 words in a month is insane. But so maybe don't think about that. Just think, I'm going to write for 20 minutes. Because anyone can write for 20 minutes, even if it's absolute rubbish, even if you don't know what you're writing on, and you're just kind of meandering around, putting down words.
Yeah.
I think, yes, short bursts of I'm just going to write something are quite good.
Yeah, that's a really good way of thinking of it, actually, just finding those little 20-minute gaps where you could be writing.
There's lots of small local meetups you can go to. literally, I'm pretty sure you can't really get anywhere in the UK now which doesn't have a kind of local NaNoWriMo group you can go to in a coffee shop, in a bookshop, in a pub, and meet other people who you will then not talk to for 2 hours because you'll kind of just sit there and be typing away, kind of hoping that your fingers are kind of drumming out something as much as theirs seem to be.
That sounds brilliant.
And you can have ones where you actually swap your work and have other people read it, and that can be really encouraging. It can also be really terrifying, and generally no one's allowed to read anything I create in Nano until kind of 6 months at least afterwards, when it's been
filtered,
edited. Edited at least 20 times.
Yeah, that's actually what Sarah Manning, who's just been on, was saying, that it's good to think of NaNoWriMo as a draft period and then go back and edit and, you know, or writing needs editing, so it's just a good opportunity to do that.
I mean, with the thing I'm working on at the moment, like I said, it's a third draft, as it were, and I'm not really doing a lot of the things you should. I'm not really writing linearly. I've taken kind of odd little scenes and writing them kind of completely out of order, just because I know I need to develop my characters more.
Yeah.
So I'm writing scenes that possibly won't actually end up anywhere near a final book, but it's good to see how my characters actually react in them and try and give them some sort of personality.
Yeah. So, Stevie, if people want to follow you online, are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
How can people get involved?
So on Twitter, I'm at Stevie Finnegan, just my name. I'm lucky enough that there aren't that many Stevie Finnegans.
Emma Smith.
I managed to actually get my name on Twitter. I also have a YouTube channel in which I do make videos talking about how I feel like you should do Nano and other such bookish subjects. And that's at youtube.com/SableCourt.
Great, and thank you so much, Stevie, for chatting to us today. It's really nice to find out what it's like to be living NaNoWriMo. So thank you very much. So now it's time for our star author slot on the podcast, and today we're lucky enough to have the wonderful Ruby Elliott, the author of It's All Absolutely Fine, here with us today. Hi, Ruby. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Emma. Thank you.
Now, Ruby describes herself as a 20-something person and illustrator who likes dogs, jam and shouting. And Ruby, I know you don't like taking compliments, but I'm going to give you a bit more of a grand intro than that. Ruby has hundreds of thousands of followers online, and recently stylists have just described her book saying it will make you laugh out loud and feel a deep ache in your gut simultaneously, and they've listed it as one of their books to read in November. The book is actually out on the 17th of November, but Ruby, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the book and why you've written it.
Okay.
And drawn it.
Yes. I guess that's the first thing to say. It is mainly drawings. There is a bit of writing in it. But yeah, a lot of it is illustrations and drawings. Funny things, a lot about mental health and struggles that I've had with depression and body image, eating disorders, everything like that. But it's not a sort of guide to that stuff or guide on how to get better. It's more just an account of what it feels like and also how a lot of those things feel, even if you haven't necessarily been massively unwell.
I think loads of people can relate to the stuff even if they haven't experienced it, because your drawings are they're so funny as well.
I hope so. I mean, that's hopefully what I wanted to do, is to make people laugh apart from anything else. And there is a lot of silly stuff in there and silly animals and things, so it's kind of serious issues in a silly way.
We've worked on making it, there's themes and there is a bit of narrative to the book, so people could read it cover to cover.
I think that's what I definitely wanted to do, was to make it something slightly different from the blog, because it's such a good opportunity to use the medium differently. Obviously I've been blogging for years and years, but I didn't want to kind of just tip that all in, so there is hopefully a nice kind of little flow to it, and it will be something quite different from what I've been putting online. Maybe sort of, you know, the tone is similar and obviously it's my stuff, but it's just this kind of dense little brick of book.
Yeah.
Kind of thing,
so. And there's lots of new stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a lot.
It's mainly new stuff, so that's really exciting. I'm very excited for people to see that.
Yeah. earlier on the podcast we were talking about NaNoWriMo writing a novel of 50,000 words at least in a month. But actually, I think it'd be interesting to hear you talk about the process of how you came to put all your material together and how you worked in the process of creating a book.
Yeah.
Can you tell the listeners about that?
Well, it was all completely new for me. I guess it started just over a year ago now, if we're in November. Yeah, so really I was kind of feeling my way through the dark. Luckily I had, you know, lots of help, and Emma was great. Emma being who's sitting opposite
right here.
Me. And lots of guidance. But it was sort of, we had a kind of fairly loose plan at the beginning. I feel like it evolved a lot as it went on, which was really cool, you know. And at no point was I kind of told, no, we can't do this. It was kind of just going along with what felt right. So I think, my process was much the same as it always has been when I'm drawing. So kind of just sitting down and making stuff. A lot of it wasn't even drafted. It was maybe I had the idea and then sat down and drew it, you know, at home or in my other office, which is the cafe down the road. there was a lot of sitting in cafes and drawing. And obviously I think, yeah, a few of them took a little bit longer, and I was trying to make it slightly less messy, even though. And then obviously I think what we did a lot of work on was putting it together. The ordering, we had all these sheets. It was very kind of a manual putting together.
It was.
Because I worked digitally, so
yeah,
we kinda,
it was anti-digital.
Yeah,
working.
Yeah. So we had all this colour-coded system going on and where the pages were going. And it was, I think at times I was quite scared, like I couldn't see exactly how it was going to sort of come together. But as time went on, and, you know, with lots of like reassurance and... you know, just kind of honing in on what the right thing was. By the end, it was really cool, and working with design, and the writing was interesting.
It's great, and I think it's all come together so well.
Yeah,
so you can
yeah.
flick through and
yeah.
and there's bits of writing and
yeah.
all sorts of drawings, and I think that, you know, it's
a lot
it's
of
all
swearing,
come
which swearing. You know, I can recommend anyone that wants to write a book with lots of swearing in comes and works with the police, because, you know, that's really okay.
Yeah, you're allowed, totally allowed to swear.
Lots of swearing.
And then in terms of the way that you do your drawing, do you have days where you'll create loads of drawings? Do you have periods of creativity and other times where you're not drawing as much?
Yeah, definitely. I think this whole process as well has changed the way I work, because kind of for the first time, I was having to kind of slightly structure what I do. So I would have to sit down and say, okay, I've got to get two or three drawings done today. And also then, like, remember to give myself time off, because the way I've sort of worked for years is in a very kind of immediate way. So I'll have an idea, or I'll have a feeling, like something will happen, and then I'll draw about it, I'll make a drawing about it. So, but yeah, I guess it was hard at times, because, you know, that whole tortured creative feeling, if you're not
mm-hmm.
in the mood, you sometimes can't make things. But I got it done.
Yeah, Ruby delivered
time.
On a deadline.
So,
perfect
yeah,
author.
Yeah, it was good. And sometimes I think it was good to have a little bit of pressure just to keep the momentum up.
And then what are you hoping to, you know, what are you hoping that readers, or, you know, I don't know what the word is for looking at drawings. Viewers.
Yes.
What are you hoping that people will take from your book?
It's a difficult question. I think a big part of me just wants them to take something. Like, I want it to mean something. I'd love for it to make them laugh. I think that's one of the...
I think that's guaranteed.
Most important things for me is that it makes them laugh. But I mean, if it can kind of mean something to anyone, or be significant, or help them at all, like, that's obviously not my total intention writing it. Like I said, it's not a kind of guide. But yeah, if people enjoy it, then that's all I can ask for, really. It's not going to be, you know, it doesn't need to be sort of like life changing. I'd just be nice.
I'm sure
people read it and go, yeah, that's pretty good. stick yeah, on the
pretty,
sofa.
Pretty good.
It's great.
Yeah, I'm sure people absolutely love it. Thank you for coming to talk to us about it. And as a last final treat for our podcast listeners today, we are going to attempt a kind of audio experiment giveaway with a grand prize, which actually I think is really exciting. So Ruby is going to draw something special in one of the copies of It's All Absolutely Fine and sign it, and we will be giving it away. The way that we'll be giving it away, I hope this will work, Ruby's going to draw an animal in the book and I'm going to describe it. I'm going to describe what's being drawn, yeah. And then on Twitter, on our Trapeze, at Trapeze Books Twitter feed, we'll have a poll and you have to guess what animal Ruby has drawn, and then we'll pick a winner from that. So hopefully this works. This is live drawing. It's not that good for audio. This is like the first
really
scratchy, radio training.
Scratchy drawing lines. Okay. It will be a real animal. And yeah. Emma's also looking at it upside down.
Yeah, it's so, upside down.
It's going to be an exciting time. Okay, so.
Live drawing. There's a line.
It's line, not lion. Giving too much away here. Oh, my God. This is the first time I've drawn inside one of the books, and I'm going all shaky.
So there's two little ears. Two big eyes. Can you hear the scribbling? I wonder if that's picked up on the microphone.
That
scribbling noise is a bit of hair. And there's some hair coming down between the eyes as well.
Okay.
Then down from the eyes, there's quite a long line. And at the end of that long line, there's a nose.
This doesn't look like what it is. It's got a quite a long snout.
It's got a long snout and a relatively long, not the longest in the animal kingdom, but quite a long neck.
Yeah, it's got eyelashes, which won't help, but it's just important to mention.
Okay.
Should we give them a clue about where it might live?
Yeah.
On a farm.
That means all the other animals on the pole have to be farm ones.
Oh, no.
No, there's loads That's of animals fine. That live on a farm. Okay. It'll be okay. That looks absolutely beautiful. That is a customised... Whoever wins this prize, I mean, it's a beautiful customised copy of It's All Absolutely Fine. So, yes. Do go onto our Twitter feed and take your pick of the multiple choice options of what animal Ruby might have drawn to win yourself a special copy. And that brings us to the end of the podcast today. So thank you very much for listening. And the last thing to say is, if you don't already follow Ruby online, Ruby, where can people find you?
Oh, everywhere.
Just all over the internet.
Yeah, I'm on Ruby TC or Ruby etc., whichever way people want to say it. That's on Twitter and Instagram with an underscore at the bottom, and then Tumblr and Facebook. But if you just kind of smash it into Google, it should pop up on multiple platforms. So
yeah,
you can see my drawings being burped out everywhere.
And do follow all of our other guests and follow us on Twitter to win that amazing prize. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.